Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for spending this time with us. It's just a simple half hour out of your day, and we're trying to incorporate some curriculum, meaning learning, right in that your young people can join in with. And today we are going to talk about the bell bird. Our scripture is Proverbs 12:17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And this would be about the size of a memory verse that would be great to learn for the week. And I know I'm giving you scriptures every day. You can choose whichever one you want. But this one would be about the size. And these scriptures, these verses, I still so remember the verses that I learned as a child. In, you know, I was homeschooled by my parents through the age of probably 16. And they had been trained as teachers, though, and they taught younger students from other families. So I had the opportunity of socializing to some degree and leading. But the scriptures really stuck with me. In a Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. You know, that's a pretty powerful proverb. Of all the strange creatures living in the jungles of South America, the mysterious bell bird is one of the most uncanny, named for its reverberating call, which is perfectly bell-like in quality. This seldom-seen phantom of the jungle is said to have lured many a traveler to his death. Bell birds live only in Central and South America. They make their nests in hollow trees and feed on fruits that grow profusely in the jungle. Seldom seen because they inhabit the deepest stretches of the tropical rainforest, bell birds are feared by jungle Indians who think they are possessed by some evil power. This superstition is quite understandable in a view of their strange and luring call. Even Colonel Clark, one of the greatest modern explorers, who is well acquainted with jungle lore, writes of being almost irresistibly drawn by the distant tolling of a bell, when it was known to be only the call of the bell bird. The fascination of this mysterious bird call is unexplainable. It affects those who know it is made by a bird, but the victim is usually a person who has lost his way and is searching frantically to escape the jungle. A distant bell tells him of civilization where there will be no longer the danger of headhunters or savage beasts. Hope seems to be concentrated in the clang of that bell. But alas, the bell is always somewhere in the distance or behind him. He is led in a wide circle without realizing it. After a time, his one thought is to get to the bell. Every fiber in his body is bent toward that deceptive goal. The ultimate end of the individual rests with the mercy of the jungle. Sometimes it seems we are also drawn almost irresistibly by deceitful phantom bells that call us ever deeper into the darkness of life's jungle. It may be by someone who can fascinate us with deceitful words that, if heeded, lead to grave dangers. It is wise to weigh carefully each of life's allurements to see where they may eventually take us. So as curriculum, we would ask the question, how does that apply in our lives? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for baby Carmen, who is getting better every day. And I pray and praise you for that wonderful story that my friend shared, where she needed a car and then she got called by a dealer, and the dealer said, someone's bought you a car, and when she went there, it was a $20,000 car, something she could never, ever have afforded. They paid for everything, Lord, the licensing, the inspection. Lord, those kinds of stories just give us courage because we know you care about the little things. We ask that you be with this show and that our words will be your words. Be with that homeschooling family, that your Holy Spirit can come into that and the learning will be a joyful experience. All this we pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, today I have to go back to my toilet paper rolls. Well, we're going to make a little bird feeder, and we might have done this before. I love it. You take the toilet paper roll, make sure you put the hanger on it first so your hands don't get too messy, and then you just start rolling it in bird seed. Oh, you first cover it with peanut butter, my favorite food, and then you roll it and roll it. Make sure you put the peanut butter on relatively thick. You'll find your little ones find it easier to roll and stick if it's quite thick. And then hang it on your favorite tree. It's a wonderful thing. And as we go into our curriculum corner, thought it would be cool to stay with the idea of helping our children learn about birds. I've put this all in a board that's called Windows on God's World. And we've talked about how you can integrate that for both Bible and science. It's just a wonderful, wonderful way of taking the Bible and science and putting it together so you could have your STEM science all integrated. We talked about the bellbird in our devotional, and it is a great spot for talking about all birds and the sounds that they make. So on my Pinterest site, I also put a really cool device. It's 50 bird species and the sounds they make. And your children can start listening to those sounds. So even if you go out bird watching and they don't see the bird, they can hear the bird. And you can make a chart and record all the different bird sounds that you've identified and recognized. And of course, with your cool little peanut butter bird feeders hanging all over the place, you'll attract lots of birds and squirrels. So that concludes our curriculum corner. We'll go next to questions parents ask. Questions parents ask. So this question came in and it says, I need some advice. My son, age 4, has begun saying a bad word. He didn't pick it up from our family. They know where he picked it up from. But it seems like the more they tell him not to say it, the more he says it. Well, isn't that just just par for the course for a 4-year-old? Especially that self-willed, intelligent child. Tell them not to do something, and they do it. Well, there's a couple of ways you can try to extinguish the behavior. You can try to ignore it. The problem is when you ignore it, he might say it to get a rise out of you when you're in the presence of somebody else. And you won't have the time really to explain that he didn't learn it from you, etc., etc. You can try to reason, but 4-year-olds aren't that good at reasoning, by saying something like, we don't use that word because it is disrespectful. What does disrespectful mean? Or you can use behavioralism, which would be something like this. Every day that you don't say that bad word, we're going to put a sticker on this chart. And when you have 5 stickers, then we're going to do something fun. You know, go get an ice cream cone or go for a walk in the park or go visit grandma. Something that you know you can easily do that you don't do all the time. And I think that with young children, because their moral development is just emerging, that's probably the best way, is to do some type of behavioralism where it's a positive thing if you don't. And then you can even do it in smaller chunks. I have some students that come to me with the inability to control themselves even for a half hour. So you would make that a half hour. If you can go a half hour without saying that bad word, then you get a sticker. And when the sticker chart is filled, then we'll go do something rewarding. Unfortunately, it's not till we get older that you can reason with from a intrinsic point of view, meaning that we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. So that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. I don't know if I have a time here for another question, but as always, you want to do your guiding and parenting based on the age level of the child. And 4 years old is still at a very developing moral level. So probably the behaviorism where if you do this, I'll do this reward is the best way. But anyway, that's my advice. The next question is, what do you do when you just don't want another baby, but you feel like you should have more? This family has 2 children, and the second one has just turned 4. Well, I'm saying that, you know, it's very expensive to raise kids. And I don't believe that God mandates that we have to be fruitful and multiply and multiply and multiply. The times that we live in are such that 2 children are going to take all of your resources and then some, your emotional resources, your financial resources, and your intellectual resources. And so you really do need to weigh that. What is prompting you to feel like you should have more? Is it a people-pleasing thing, or is it a guilty thing because you came from a long line of families that have traditionally a lot of children? You just don't know. I know I prayed about it myself. I just decided that I wanted to teach and I wanted to get more education. So 2 children, that was enough for me, and I didn't feel guilty about it. I'm glad I chose that because in the long run, then I ended up having 2 more children. So I ended up with 4 children, but they weren't biological. And so maybe God is just telling you, hey, you've had 2 biological children. Now you need to adopt. And so that prompting for another child isn't necessarily that you have the child, but that you're going to take care of someone else's child. That God is going to provide for that child loving parents. So that's my advice for whatever it's worth. You know, I had lots of advice when I was younger, but I don't have so much now. Well, we have to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about health with Raven White. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Raven Nicole Jackson White. Yeah. And I'm just going to tell a little bit about her journey, and then I'm going to ask her a lot about her journey.
Okay.
She received her master's in youth ministries from Andrews University in 2004, and her goal was to reach and empower young people through practical resources and to make heaven their home. She then worked as a job developer, mentor, case manager, and life skills coach. And each of those areas has afforded her the opportunity to grow and to develop. And I think it would be a good thing for me to pause here, because part of what you say is regaining Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the title of your ministry that you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. It's Regaining Eden by Raven.
Right. So, yeah, it is Regaining Eden with Raven.
Regaining Eden with Raven. And just, you know, I had an opportunity to look at some of your videos on your Facebook page.
Yay.
So I thought it would be great if you shared that story, because regaining does sound like something that was lost and then you have regained it. If you would share your own personal experience, it kind of gives a bridge for us to walk across.
Well, one of the things, I was atheist, then turned as Gnostic and really just wanted to search, you know, for a higher and better meaning of life because of some tragic things that happened to me in my childhood that made me really want to stay away from Christianity. As I was reading a book from a lady named Ellen White, she mentioned that we can regain Eden through following the methods of Christ. And I thought that was so cool. And I was like, regaining Eden, that would be so great. So I came up with this little slogan I feel that God has given me, that we're regaining Eden one decision at a time, you know, giving back what was lost through life experiences. And so for myself, who's been sexually abused, who couldn't read until the age of 20, I've just dealt with a lot of tragedies. But through learning who Christ is one-on-one, I have regained more than just a happy life. I've regained now an identity of strength. And I want to empower other people to know that whatever past you've had that has been negative, it can actually be a stepping stone to show how strong you really are in Christ. And you can be able to help others see that they're not broken as well. We were not built to be broken, you know. I think that's what Eden was, a place of growth and strength in Christ. And we're able to help others as we are helping ourselves in Him.
I noticed your website is missionaryagency.com, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Our listeners can go there. They can also go on your Facebook, mm-hmm, Regaining mm-hmm. Eden with Raven.
Regaining Eden with Raven. So under that, I started a business called Project 144, preparing souls to be a part of 144,000. I had diverticulitis. I had fibroids. I had heartburn for 2 years, just drinking water. I was just 220 pounds and just sad and had a lot of problems in life, a lot of emotional issues, very suicidal. But through what God has changed me and helping my diverticulums go away, helping my fibroids go away, helping me with my depression, I no longer want to die. I've decided to start an agency for those who want to help people with natural ways to help people, because I didn't need medication to help me with mine. I went to Wildwood Lifestyle Center. And they helped me with hydrotherapy. They helped me with herbs, changing my diet, changing my mindset, allowing me to let God into my life through scriptures. Right there, it changed my whole body structure. I mean, just how I lived. And so I want to share that with others. So I started Project 144. My dad was dying, and I wanted to send medical missionaries or people who knew the human body and natural remedies. I wanted to send them out to help him, but there was not an organized place to do that. And so I felt led to start that myself. And so that's where Project 144 came out of Regaining Eden, to help others regain Eden one decision at a time, you know, but with help, not alone. I don't think God ever wanted us to do things alone.
So when you say you were overweight, mm-hmm, how did your one decision at a time help with that? Because everyone always wants to lose weight.
Right. I had to decide that I'm not going to lose it overnight. I used to look at myself in the mirror and I would try on clothes. And I'm like, Raven, you're so fat. You're so ugly. It's like, whoa, back up. Calm down. I'm not going to lose it overnight. Okay. So today, and this is another thing I had to learn. Maybe today I ate a donut. Yesterday I did well, but then today I didn't. Say, okay, today I didn't. One decision, I have to decide not just to do well, but I also have to decide not to beat myself up and hold myself to such a high standard that is unrealistic. I also have to make a decision that I'm not the person that I need to really go to for help. I need to go to God. That was another big challenge for me, is to learn how to let God in and go to God instead of being self-sufficient myself. And so it's just making decisions. Your choices, one decision at a time. Make the right choice. And if you don't make the right choice, not to keep yourself at a bad choice. It's just about decisions, you know?
I think that you touched upon the idea that low self-esteem, mm-hmm, I do not know of a single human being that comes through this life, mm-hmm, without having been attacked.
Right.
Because we are in an enemy-occupied territory. Mm-hmm. Satan is going around seeking whom he can devour. Mm-hmm. And it might be that some are more mistreated than others. Mm-hmm. But when it all comes down to it, it really does seem that that self-worth, until we can replace it.
Right, right, right.
With God worth.
Right.
We're very vulnerable.
You know, also I learned this when I went to grad school. I learned that one negative word, unless it's spread out, covered by 10 positive words, actually your psyche takes it in as real. And so calling someone, oh, you're so fat, you know, you're so stupid, or you're a little fatty. You know, sometimes people don't know, young children don't know, you know, don't know how to take that. They may laugh it off and try to laugh it off, but the reality is words are life, and life and death is in the tongue. I think it's also good to empower people by telling them that they are beautiful, even though that they may not be what they need to be at the moment. And I think also in watching certain things on television, you know, seeing certain images, trying to be like other people, comparing ourselves, can be another added to people feeling like they themselves is not enough, because their image is based upon everything that's changeable and relative instead of Christ. And it's not because it's their fault. It's just how sin has really made our society to look external instead of to Christ, you know?
Well, I can testify that you do look younger now than you did, you know, 10 years ago.
Praise the Lord.
I can't believe that you're 40-some years old. Yeah. You just look like a teenager to me. So all that healthy food and water and
walking and going to bed on time.
Yes, getting enough sleep and really fortifying that temple. We are the temple of God.
Yes.
And if you say that to yourself every day, that in itself helps you.
Amen. Amen.
We are the temple of God.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit more about your company. So Project 144. It says Project 144 Employment Referral Agency. Was this something that you wrote for an agency, or are you a employment referral agency?
So we are a lifestyle referral employment agency. I wanted to connect people who were leaving our institutions, you know, medical missionary schools, and needing jobs, with people who are looking for those who are non-medical, but also spiritual based, as well as natural remedy based. So not just going at home and cooking and doing no medications, but we can do hydrotherapy treatments with you. We could teach you about herbs. We can help you with gardening. We can find resources for you, help you with your time management, anger management, as well as your mental health and working with depression. So we're trying to empower you. So this agency is just making that connection. I want to grow more to be able to train people a little bit more, instead of just taking them from a place of someone else training them. Because I think especially when you do the in-home training, it's serious.
Yeah.
It's emotionally taxing upon us, and I'm trying to prepare them more for that.
Yes, and I see never before as I see now the need for it, because you are bombarded 24/7. Have you ever thought of these pharmaceutical advertisements? The picture is usually people in radiant health moving about, and so the picture method, the picture message is that this pill or drug is going to make you like what you're seeing in the picture. But then by law, they have to say all these things quickly about, you know,
you're just going to die.
Yeah, it may cause death, it may cause serious reaction, you know, allergic reaction and all of that. And so the idea of having a lifestyle professional. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.